for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It's a shame there's nothing interesting in the news, am I right? Well, welcome to the WABC Early News. We're going to have full coverage of Governor Cuomo's announcement yesterday and a whole lot more. I'm Frank Morano, joined by the person that was right about what Governor Cuomo would do and when he would do it, Juliet Huddy. You called that one, Juliet.
Well, you know, it was just a prediction, but I'd like to hear the mea culpa from Sid when he gets in. Making sure that that he does that today, because he was very adamant that this was crazy to even suggest that Cuomo would resign.
Yeah, but, hey, you called it. You, I think you said it was going to be this week, and you said that he would resign, and you were right on both counts.
Well, supposedly Chris Cuomo was the one who advised him to resign, but we'll see about that. That's at least what some.
I believe that reporting. Because he's worried about his own job.
I think that that is. Definitely likely, but I also think that his brother realizes that this is a situation that Cuomo Sr. is not going to come back from, especially because it's not just the sexual harassment allegations, it's also the nursing home deaths. Anyway, let's talk about some weather, shall we?
The
Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 92 degrees today is what we're going to see. So the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Friday, will be very, very warm. We have an excessive heat warning. We're looking at some sunshine and some clouds today, maybe a stray shower or a thunderstorm. Tomorrow, the temperatures soar up into the high 90s, 96 likely to be the high, at least in New York City. We'll have partly cloudy skies tomorrow, hot, humid, and it's going to stay pretty much the same way on Friday. Same thing, 96 degrees. See, humidity goes down just a tad, but it still will feel pretty muggy out there. And then once we hit into the weekend, we're going to drop down into the high 70s, 87 degrees for Saturday with scattered thunderstorms. Sunday, 82 degrees, partly cloudy skies. And as we head into the work week, it starts to get a little bit cooler. And I'm looking sort of into the rest of the next week, work week. We're in the low 80s. So I think the time is coming where we're going to start to feel that fall weather. Hopefully sooner than
later. Yeah, I'm enjoying summer while it's here. I'm not trying to rush it out any time.
I love the fall weather.
Well, but so how hot does it have to be before an excessive heat warning takes effect? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
But we're definitely experiencing that today.
Yes, we will.
The excessive heat.
Yes,
all right. Well.
Yes. From 11 this morning until 8 p.m. this evening.
All right. That covers a lot of ground. All right. President Biden is naming his nominees to take the helm at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan and Brooklyn. We'll tell you more about that later. Deb Valentine just referenced that. But transportation advocates across the tri-state area are applauding the Senate for passing its first major infrastructure bill since the Federal Highway Act in 1956. Tri-State Transportation Campaign says the deal is expected to help move forward projects that have been stalled, like the 2nd Avenue Subway, the Portal Bridge replacement, and the Hudson River Tunnel. The bill still needs to pass the House. A gentleman watching that bill very closely because it affects his livelihood is our traffic correspondent, Joe Nolan, who has traffic and transit on the 7th. Hello, Joe.
Well, that Portal Bridge is well over 100 years old.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it needs to be replaced. And the same thing with those tunnels. You need another
one. You see? You're watching this closely.
Yeah, need another one. So, all right. Well, here we go. We had a busy morning here. Of course, you know, in a busy news day, that should you'd want it not to be a busy traffic day so I can get on and get off. But the cross Bronx eastbound at the Bronx River Parkway, an accident in the right lane northbound of the Garden State Parkway at 144. An accident, three left lanes are out. They are shut down, and again, big delays starting to build. Westbound on Route 80, this happened 10:30 last night. Jackknife tractor trailer and a fuel spill. The right lane is out. They're still cleaning that up. It's up on the guardrail too, apparently. And on the Connecticut Turnpike, northbound I-95 at exit 5, a two-car accident. Again, right lane out of service, and alternate side is in effect. The support of service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7's Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. All right, let's get back to this big, big news that broke yesterday. The Cuomo press conference where he resigned. How to break this down? First of all, I guess, Frank, some house cleaning. His resignation will take effect in 2 weeks. As you heard Deb say, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul is then going to slide into his governor DMs and take over from there. And as far as what he said during his 20-minute presser, let's just Let's just kind of break that down a little bit into some headlines. He wasted absolutely no time in eviscerating the state's attorney general. He said Tish James was motivated by politics and that he was a victim of a political attack. This kind of seems to be, Frank, the norm when it comes to these politicians defending themselves. You know, it was a politically motivated attack. And sadly, it seems to be quite effective, at least in some cases. But Cuomo is 63. He's trying to push the narrative that the real blame should go to generational differences. I mean, 63 is not that old. You know, it's not like you're, father time. But anyway, he basically said that the hashtag Me Too movement has gone too far. I actually agree with him on that, actually. But it doesn't mean that he's not guilty of being a pervert. Some of the allegations, I agree, were a bit light, but some are not. And for this, he is paying a price. Of course, he also mentioned the fact that an impeachment trial would take up a lot of time, resources, and money. And of course, he would rather throw himself on the sword than take our precious taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. Coming up at the bottom of the hour.
I had no idea he was such a responsible steward of taxpayer money all of a sudden.
Right. Well, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by our friend, the inimitable world-renowned body language expert, Tanya Reiman, who's going to be giving us a breakdown of his resignation speech yesterday. She's always really interesting, so make sure you tune in for that.
Speaking of Andrew Cuomo referencing those generational differences, this was what I thought was a rather interesting explanation of how those generational differences have changed for the governor over the years when it comes to this kind of behavior. Listen to this.
Who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Actually, that wasn't the cut that that I was hoping to play.
Still.
But it certainly is interesting.
Bunch of old people. Kill them off. Why not?
All right. Well, quite a bit of other non-Cuomo-related news as well. New Jersey is once again sending PPE overseas as coronavirus cases soar across the globe. Governor Murphy says 700,000 NK95 and N95 masks are heading to India. The Garden State is home to one of the nation's largest Indian communities, and Governor Murphy says officials are committed to supporting India in whatever way possible to battle the virus.
Well, you know, I know that you wanted to kind of move on from the Cuomo thing, but I am actually really curious about Kathy Hochul. I knew nothing about her. I did a little research yesterday. Who is our soon-to-be governor, the first woman governor in New York State history? Well, Kathy Hochul has been obviously Cuomo's number two since 2015. Were you familiar with her? I mean,
yes. Well, since the time that she was in Congress, yes.
Okay, yeah. So she has been a major player in several Cuomo initiatives, including serving as the chair to the state's regional economic development councils, which created lots of projects and supported lots of jobs around the state. She also headed up Cuomo's task force on heroin and opioid abuse. Interestingly, she spearheaded his Enough is Enough initiative, which was an effort to combat sexual violence on college campuses. She served, as you just mentioned, one term in Congress. She became the first Democrat in 40 years to win the Republican-leaning 26th district. Is that because she claimed that she was a moderate Democrat?
She certainly did campaign as a moderate. Yes.
Well, she got a nod from the NRA for Congress as an independent Democrat. She had condemned Cuomo after the allegations against him first began to surface, and not surprisingly, she said yesterday that his resignation was in the best interest of the people of New York. And later on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the personal side of our state's 57th governor.
All right, and what I do wonder is what this means for, she'll be the first female governor. I do wonder if this causes Tish James, who everybody assumes is angling for the office and would like to be the governor, if this would cause her any reluctance about running. Does she want to really be the person that goes after the person that's in the history books as New York's first female governor? I think that'll be very interesting to see.
Good question.
So, all right. Now, quite a bit of other news as well. New Jersey is honoring late Senator and Superior Court Judge Peter Barnes III. Governor Phil Murphy signed legislation renaming the Dismal Swamp and Dismal Swamp Preservation Commission as the Peter J. Barnes III Wildlife Preserve and the Peter J. Barnes III Wildlife Preservation Committee. Barnes played an instrumental role in preserving the area in Edison, which consists of 660 acres of freshwater wetland and 175 bird species. The late senator's family says they're honored, adding Pete lives a remarkable life dedicated to his community.
All right, well, going out to Long Island wasn't the most pleasant news to hear yesterday. I don't know if you heard this, Frank, but during Deb's headlines, she told you about a murder in Huntington Station, and we're finding out a little bit more about that. There was a man who was shot to death Monday night on Lowndes Avenue. Now, I wouldn't normally get specific on streets out on the island, but this is significant because it's right across the street from the Huntington train station. Suffolk police found Luis Cameron Rimmer Hernandez lying in the street with a gunshot wound. The 21-year-old from Dix Hills was taken to Huntington Hospital down the street where he was pronounced dead. And detectives are asking anyone with information to please call homicide.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting time when it comes to the mask mandates that many states are debating. Seven states are now banning mask mandates at schools just as more kids head back to class. But several school districts are doing it anyway. Arizona's governor hasn't said if he'll take action for defying the ban, but Texas will issue fines. Florida's governor wants to withhold salaries from superintendents, while South Carolina has threatened to pull funding. Parents and teachers are also trying to reverse mandates in Utah, Iowa, and Oklahoma.
And very quickly, a massive coke bust in Times Square. This wraps up a 2-year investigation by the feds. Eight men were indicted for what prosecutors call around-the-clock crack cocaine operation. Two of those men have been indicted. The rest are still at large.
Well, thanks to Peerless Boilers, here's what's happening in the world of sports. NFL officials will crack down on taunting during the upcoming season. Taunting penalties will be strictly enforced this year, with two violations resulting in automatic ejection. The league says the players in question could also be fined or suspended. Russell Westbrook is officially donning the purple and gold of the LA Lakers. The point guard was introduced in his first news conference at the Staples Center, holding his trademark Zero uniform. Westbrook said he's truly blessed and thankful for the opportunity to return home to Los Angeles. The first meeting between the top two overall picks of the 2021 NBA draft did not disappoint. Jalen Green scored 25 points as the Rockets blasted the Pistons 111-91 in the Las Vegas Summer League. Top overall pick Cade Cunningham had a big day as well, finishing with 20 points. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are dealing with yet another injury to their star-studded roster. Outfielder Mookie Betts has been battling a sore right rib and is very probable to hit the injured list, according to manager Dave Roberts. Betts left Friday's game early with hip discomfort. The more things change in college football, the more they stay the same. Despite an offseason with the introduction of players profiting from NILs and potential realignment, the top of the coaches poll is still rich with blue bloods. Alabama and Clemson are ranked 1 and 2 in the preseason coaches poll, which was released on Tuesday. Well, the Mets had they were trailing 3-1 when their game was suspended due to rain in Queens yesterday. And the Yankees, they are going to be playing the Kansas City Royals this afternoon in Missouri. And that is a 2 o'clock start. The Mets are going to try again with a 4-10 game this afternoon in Queens. In terms of what you can expect in basketball, well, we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. At 5:17, here's what's happening in traffic and transit on the 7s, according to Joe Noble.
It's a busy morning across Bronx, eastbound Bronx River Parkway. A crash in the right lane if you're on the Garden State Parkway, northbound in New Jersey. Coming up between 144 and 145, apparently a multi-vehicle accident. The three left lanes are out. On the overnight on Route 80, there was a jackknife tractor trailer by exit 58 in Patterson. It's still there. There's a fuel spill. The right lane is out. They're in the process of cleaning it up. Probably won't be too much longer, only because this thing happened around 10:30 last night. Connecticut Turnpike, northbound exit 5, a 2-car in the right lane. On the Island, Southern State westbound at the Meadowbrook, there's an accident. And also now we have 15 to 20 minute delays on the Port Washington branch. Apparently some late running track work and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nolan. We are going to take a very quick break, but before we do, I wanted to say, Frank, as you know, I'm always excited after Joe wraps up his traffic update at the 17 past the hour mark, because I know what that means. It means shortly you'll have an amazing amazing business story. BizBuzz.
Oh, yes. I like that we're keeping with BizBuzz.
Well, I don't know. I just kind of just, you know, said it.
This is an issue very near and dear to my heart. It has to do with casino gambling winnings.
Oh, okay. And in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update. A lot of folks are really concerned about this news that the EU may start banning Americans from coming over to Europe because of our skyrocketing COVID rates. I will explain what I think is going to happen. That, again, is coming up at 5:40. In the meantime, we'll be right back after this quick break.
5:20. Here's what's happening in the world of business. Well, Samsung is launching an array of new devices today, including a large foldable smartphone that's expected to fit the company's line of tablets. The Z Fold opens outwardly like a book, revealing a tablet-sized screen, the latest versions of the Wear platform. Smartwatches are also available in the lineup of new devices. The consumer electronics giant will roll out at 10 a.m. this morning. And 2021 is a winning hand for the gaming industry. The American Gaming Association announced yesterday that 2021 is on pace to be the best year ever for gaming. Gambling revenues hit a record $13.6 billion during the second quarter, $2.5 billion more than the previous record. Nevada casinos are leading the charge, hauling in close to $3.5 billion for the quarter. Nationwide, commercial gaming generated $24.8 billion from January until June. And the opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street was able to gain a little momentum yesterday with the bipartisan passage of an enormous infrastructure bill. Infrastructure-related shares rose as the Senate approved the trillion-dollar package. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones was up 162, the S&P 500 up 44, and the NASDAQ was down slightly, falling 72 points. That's what's happening in the Biz Buzz, Juliet.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, the big news today, of course, is that Governor Cuomo is on his way out, and in his place will be his Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Earlier in the show, I told you a little bit about her professional background. So let's go to the personal perspective. She was born in Buffalo, one of six, and apparently, Frank, life wasn't particularly easy for her early on. Her parents really struggled to make ends meet. Initially, the family lived in a trailer for a time, and she is Irish Catholic with roots in County Kerry, Ireland. Apparently, though, her father really made his way. I think he worked for an information technology company, and he ended up becoming the head of it. So I guess a very successful family. She attended Syracuse University undergrad, where she became politically active by basically leading a boycott of the student bookstore over high prices. She also successfully lobbied the university to divest from apartheid South Africa. She went on to law school down at D.C., in D.C. at Catholic University. She's a founding member of the Kathleen Mary House, a transitional home for women and children victims of domestic violence. And she's married to a guy named William Hochul Jr. He's a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York. And they have two kids.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Now you know the tale of the tape on Hochul. And by the way, we have to thank our research department in the person of Molly Fichter. She informs us that once it gets above 95 degrees, that's when an excessive heat warning takes effect. So
thank you very much,
people,
Molly.
Should know. Nice. If you hear that excessive heat warning, that's what it means. Possibility of 95 degrees. Speaking of weather, Tropical Storm Fred is lashing Puerto Rico with heavy rain and powerful winds. It formed yesterday in the Caribbean, becoming the sixth named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. Forecasters say it'll hit the Dominican Republic next and then turn towards the Bahamas. Florida is in the path of the storm and could get hit by Friday. Officials say it's too early to know if it'll strengthen to a hurricane, but the state is expected to get drenched.
Well, in music news, Stevie Nicks has decided to cancel all of her concerts on books for 2021. Now, she only actually had five for the rest of this year, but she says she is done. She said that, you know, we're in challenging times and she had to make a decision. She wants everybody to be safe and healthy. She says she is vaccinated, but she's 73 years old and she says she's just trying to be cautious. So she has decided to skip the five performances that she had planned. And she says, you know, I know you guys are going to be disappointed and she is devastated, but she says, let's look towards a brighter 2022. Have you ever seen her live?
No.
Oh, she's awesome. Gosh, she's so great.
Well, then I'm sorry that people won't get to see her for a little while.
Well, it's only, you know, a few months.
A Hollywood screenwriter is refuting a claim that the COVID vaccine turns people into zombies. He co-wrote the script for 2007 Will Smith thriller I Am Legend. The movie was about a cure for cancer that accidentally turns people into mutants. A recent New York Times article said a theory going around social media claims the COVID vaccine is the same shot, but the writer tweeted that he made it up and it's not real.
I mean, it's the fact that we even have to say this is amazing.
Yeah. And I remember the movie 28 Days Later, and I think there's a similar premise that the cure for cancer turns everybody into zombies, from what I remember of that film.
Mm.
So be careful.
Well, I mean, maybe that could be a good thing, you know? This is a horrible story. You heard Deb mention it at the top of the hour, I believe. A 19-month-old was mauled to death by his family's Rottweiler. It happened at their Flatbush home around 10:45 Tuesday. The toddler was being watched by his older siblings, according to the NYPD. The cops showed up on scene. They found the baby bleeding heavily, from bite wounds to his neck and shoulder. And unfortunately, they took him to Maimonides Hospital, where he passed away. The dog was taken away by Animal Care and Control. And detectives, of course, interrogating the baby's parents after they returned to the family home. What a horrible situation. No arrests have been made in connection with this horrible tragedy.
Yeah, that is horrible.
So sad.
A cargo ship is on its way to the International Space Station. A rocket launched it last night from Virginia. The ship is carrying 8,200 pounds of supplies for astronauts, scientific equipment, and hardware to upgrade the station's solar panels. This is Northrop Grumman's 15th resupply launch since 2014. The ship will arrive early tomorrow and stay for about 3 months.
This is interesting. The number of white people in the U.S. has declined for the first time in history. This is according to a new census report. It came out August 12th, and it's coming out August 12th, rather. And it is apparently going to reveal that this drop in the white population for the first time in history has to do with lower than anticipated birth rates among millennials and also the opioid epidemic. The Hispanic population now represents 20% of the U.S. population. The black population is about 12.5%. The Asian population has doubled since the 1990s, is now 6%. And experts say there will no longer be a racial majority in the U.S. by 2045. That's not that far away. The U.S. saw the smallest population growth this year, generally. And that is that's the story.
All right. Well, I am doing my part by not doing opioids and impregnating my wife.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not doing my part, I guess. I've just got a bunch of dogs and cats now living at my house. Actually, one very sad situation. I think we might have to put my dog to sleep.
Oh, that is sad.
My old dog Gomez. Oh, God. I freaked out on Instagram yesterday and I started crying.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I'm just because he's here right now and I've had him since 2005. And he's just, he can't see anymore and I don't think he can hear. And my mom and I are going to be taking him to the vet today just to see.
No.
It's not going to be a very good week.
All right. Well, if people are not depressed enough, let's depress them more with the traffic,
the circle
Joe Nolan.
Of life.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cross Bronx on the westbound side, you've got some delays getting to the George Washington Bridge, but eastbound is where the action is now. You've got delays at Jerome Avenue, an accident one lane out, then at the Bronx River Parkway, another crash, right lane out of service. Southbound Deegan slow from the 230s down to Fordham Road, accident one lane out of service. Westbound on Route 80 at exit 58 in Patterson, the jackknife tractor trailer, a fuel spill, right lane out. Now that happened at 10:30 last night, that accident. Connecticut Turnpike northbound at exit 5, a two car in the right lane, and also on the Southern State westbound at the Meadowbrook. Look for a crash. Long Island Railroad, 15 to 20 on the Port Washington. Some late running road work, or rather track work, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are in effect. This report of service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. Coming up in your Jet Juliet said, Juliet, travel update. A few more countries have been added to the United States do not travel list. I'll tell you a little bit about that and tell you why you don't have to freak out. And also, the EU is getting together this week to try to figure out if America, United States of America, is going to be on the list of countries that need to be quarantined if we want to go over and visit. So that's a big one coming up at 5:40. Also coming up right at the bottom of the hour after Deb's headlines, Tanya Ryman, body language expert.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. And WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays. From around the world to around the block, this is a WABC 77 Second News Update.
I'm Deborah Valentine. Afghan officials say the Taliban has overrun three more provincial capitals, now controlling 9 out of 34. As U.S. troops exit, President Biden was asked if he regrets withdrawing U.S. troops.
I think they're beginning to realize they've got to come together politically at the top, but we're going to continue to keep our commitment. But I do not regret my decision.
He says Afghanistan must fight its own fight, but the U.S. will continue to offer limited support. The U.S. Senate passed a $3.5 trillion budget resolution, a second victory for President Biden, hours after lawmakers passed that $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Two this afternoon, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul set to make a public address. She, of course, taking over for New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo, who resigned yesterday. Hochul takes over on August 24th. Here's Cuomo.
Thank you for the honor of serving you. It has been the honor of my lifetime. God bless you.
A report from the New York State Attorney General found Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women. Big cocaine bust in Times Square by the feds. It follows a two-year investigation. Eight men indicted now for what prosecutors say was an around-the-clock crack cocaine operation. Two of these eight men indicted still at large. Well, a loud roar, then an explosion in Elmhurst, Queens yesterday. Firefighters found a man dead with stab wounds on the seventh floor. He's identified as 26-year-old Ernesti Belgaretzi. The fire caused others at that 41st Avenue and 74th Street location to be displaced. Well, Juliet will like this one. Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey has taken his family to Italy for a family vacation. They own a house in central Italy, one of Juliet's favorite vacation spots. And he and his family plan to return to the state August 19th. Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver serving as acting governor in the meantime. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center will be told to you by Juliet. Right now we have a reading of 73 degrees, mostly clear. I'm Deborah Valentine.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer. WABC Early News time is 5:32. And just a moment, we have Tanya Ryman, the renowned body language expert, who's going to be breaking down Governor Cuomo's speech. I think he was sincere, but on which parts? And she's going to talk about that in a second. But a real quick a weather update. We've got an excessive heat warning that lasts from tomorrow. It's actually going into effect tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern time until Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So tomorrow, 11 to 8, not today. As far as the weather goes today, we're going to have really warm, really muggy feeling, 93 degrees, sunny clouds. It's kind of going to be a mixed day. Stray shower, thunderstorm may be possible. Tomorrow, we're looking at 97 degrees with partly cloudy skies and very, very muggy. Friday, same thing. And Saturday, we start to cool off a little bit, but we also have some scattered thunderstorms definitely coming our way. Sunday cools off a little bit to 82 degrees. With partly cloudy skies, and the humidity goes down to about 50%. Now, that said, we've got a big guest coming with us right now. Tanya Ryman has been on our show many times before. She's a good friend of us, of ours. Tanya, I am so curious as to what you thought about the soon-to-be former governor's press conference yesterday. In general, what were your impressions?
Well, you hit it on the head when you said, I think he was genuine, but .. So yes, he was definitely genuine because I think that he's such a narcissist that he doesn't actually recognize when he's doing something wrong because he thinks he's entitled to so much. Having said that, there were several moments where you really did see a change in either his cadence, how he spoke, what he said, his movements, his facial expressions. So we can talk about each one of those if you'd like. But what really struck me was the first time I saw a change or heard a change was when he started talking about the trooper. And when he started talking about her, his cadence went from his typical slow, regular eye contact to a very like speedy, quick kind of, I want to just get this part over with. So his pace sped up enormously. And then after that was done, he went back to speaking in his normal cadence. And that doesn't mean that, you know, that's all he did. He did his typical things. Like, people need to realize when they're watching him, he has a baseline. He sticks his tongue out, which is called a tongue jut. Occasionally, he tends to, because he is a dominant individual, put his palms in the downward position. And he also typically keeps his hands clasped in his, like, on the desk. So those are things that people might interpret as being closed off, etc. That's just how he behaves normally. You know, if we're looking at the things that he doesn't normally do, there were times that his blink rate increased rapidly when he was talking about his daughters and watching TV and seeing this whole thing play out. You know, that was interesting.
What does that mean?
Also,
what does that mean then?
Yeah. So when we're looking at the conversation with the daughters, so his mouth got very tightened. So when he says that, when he's talking about sitting with his daughters and the blink rate goes up, that shows a high level of anxiety and not wanting to see it. The more we close our eyes, the less we want to see. And the reason that is, you know, if we're typically blinking 20 times a minute, that's normal. But if our blink rate goes up to 75 times a minute, then we know that something is bothering us and we're trying to close it out. The same thing goes with the tongue. With him, he juts his tongue out while he was watching with his daughters. He actually licked his lips and then swiped his lips. And then he did an extended eye closure, which though all those things indicate regret, remorse. I wish I hadn't done that. Now, obviously, it's too late for that. But recognizing that these key moments for him demonstrate that even though looking at his face, he seemed calm and collected the entire time, there were points, especially actually you were talking about the lieutenant governor. And when he spoke about her, he started to rub his fingers together. And that's something called displacement. When you rub your fingers together, what you're trying to do is get rid of any excess energy that you have. And again, that shows that even though your face isn't demonstrating it, your body is feeling the anxiety. So he's gotten good over the many years that he's been in the public eye, but the body always tells the truth. And the fingers twitching together like that, that was an enormous sign for anxiety.
Chung with Tanya Ryman. She's the author of the book, The Power of Body Language, How to Succeed in Every Business and Social Encounter. You can check out her website, TanyaRyman.net. Tanya, there was one portion of the press conference or the video message where he talked about what level of responsibility he was taking.
I take full responsibility for my actions. I have been too familiar with people. My sense of humor can be insensitive and off-putting. I do hug and kiss people casually, women and men. I have done it all my life. It's who I've been since I can remember.
Tanya, what's the story? Did you get the sense when he was talking about that, taking full responsibility, that he was being sincere? Or was he saying what he thought he had to?
I do think that he was being sincere there because he is a very touchy-feely individual. That does not mean that the people who we haven't learned enough about yet aren't right. But in his mind, I think he truly believes that these were moments, again, not going to the more important people that we have not yet learned that much about, but he does feel like it's okay for him to walk by somebody and pat them on the shoulder, or unfortunately, I'm not sure about the tummy touch, because I thought that was a little bit creepy myself. But at the same time, he does feel like that's an entitlement. So all of these things kind of come together, and you recognize that he feels that entitlement until it starts to hit home. And it starts to hit home when we discuss anybody who is outside of the realm that he thinks could be a potential predator.
Right. Tanya, it's so interesting. We could go on and on and on, but appreciate you waking up so early in the morning for us.
One more thing. Just as he discussed, how New York is strong and tough, and I love that part of the speech. At the same time, one of the things that upset me the most was how he discussed cultural and generational issues. Mm-hmm. And my thought is, you're supposed to be the person who is in charge of New York, the melting pot. So that was a big red flag to me. If you're supposed to be in charge of the melting pot, then you should know the cultural differences.
Tanya Reiman, thank you very much. Check out her book, The Power of Body Language, and I'll speak with you soon, Ton.
Thank you, Tanya.
We've got to get over to traffic. Hey, Joe.
Oh, okay, crossbox on the eastbound side. I was waiting for more. Crossbox eastbound, extra heavy. George Washington Bridge and Jerome Avenue, an accident, one lane out. Deegan southbound at Fordham Road, there's a crash. Again, that one lane out of service. That jackknife tractor trailer still being cleared. Westbound on Route 80 in Patterson at exit 58. Long Island Railroad still posting 15 to 20 minute delays on the Port Washington branch. That with some late running track work and alternate sides in effect. Traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Stocks were mixed yesterday. Some good news due to the infrastructure bill. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 162 points, while the S&P 500 gained almost 4 points. The NASDAQ, though, fell 72 points. The inflation rate for July is due this morning, and analysts don't expect a lot of change. They're forecasting the annualized rate remaining at 5.4%, with some slowing month over month. The experts see inflation rising 0.6% from June to July, after going up 0.9% from May to June. The numbers will be out at 8:30 this morning. The spotlight is now on the follow-up measure to the bipartisan infrastructure bill that has passed the Senate. The so-called human infrastructure bill covers $3.5 trillion in spending and will have to pass with only Democratic support. The massive bill covers a huge amount of territory, including expanding Medicare, paid family leave, free community college, and initiatives to combat climate change. Democrats call it historic legislation that will give a big boost to working families. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, though, has called it a reckless spending spree that's being fueled by the far left. Juliet.
Thank you very much. Time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. So don't feel so bad, America. We're not the only ones seeing skyrocketing COVID infections, and that is thanks to the evil Delta variant, of course. The CDC has added a few more countries to its do not travel list. Here's the thing before you freak out, just a reminder, the do not travel is not an order. It's a strong suggestion. Basically, it means if you find yourself stranded in a foreign country, sick, not able to get medical treatment, don't expect Uncle Sam or Uncle Biden, for that matter, to go out of their way to help you. You've been warned. The latest countries include France, Iceland, Israel, the West Bank territories included, Gaza, Thailand, and there also are a few others. And I've posted a link on my Twitter at JetSetJuliet with more information. My Twitter pal, speaking of Ben down in Orlando, and several other folks actually, have been really fretting ever since I broke the news that Reuters reported that the EU, the European Union, may once again ban Americans thanks to our skyrocketing COVID infection rates. I have a little more information for you. Okay, so apparently the EU will be getting together this week to review the list of countries that are eligible for relaxed entry rules. One EU official said this could very likely happen, that we will be off that list for relaxed entry rules. Number one, we don't have a universal approach to masks and vaccines. You know, DeSantis down in Florida is handling things one way. Phil Murphy in New Jersey is handling things another. And obviously, some states, predominantly red states, are dragging when it comes to vaccines. So this is a big concern for the EU. Another issue, though, has me worried. Europeans are getting a little, let's just say, sick and tired of the Biden administration being okay with us traveling over there, but yet we still haven't eased restrictions for them to travel here. So that may play into this meeting this week. If they do decide to ban us, how would that work? Well, best case scenario, they would probably still allow Americans who are fully vaccinated. I have a feeling that's what they're going to go with. Worst case scenario is they're just going to ban us completely. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, never say never. Also, remember, just like when they were considering reopening, a majority of the 27 member states would need to approve a ban, just like they needed to approve a reopening, but it would remain up to individual countries to decide the details and rules for themselves. So it's kind of a weird situation. If you've listened to the segment enough, you've heard me talk about how Iceland, Croatia, and Greece were the front runners in deciding to open up early to Americans. So bottom line, it's kind of just up to the countries themselves. It's yet another wrench in the world getting back to normal, but we only have ourselves to blame, I suppose. One travel expert put it, the bright side is that peak travel season is almost over. So the summer travel season, yes, is wrapping up pretty soon. One country that did open their doors recently to us was Canada, but only vaccinated Americans are allowed in right now, even though we still won't let them in until August 21st. Based on what I'm seeing from bloggers and others who have visited since they opened up, here are a couple quick tips. Be prepared for long lines, especially at the border crossings. The enhanced rules mean that you're going to be sitting there for, you know, a lot longer than normal, I would say. And also, you may still be required to wear a mask. Different provinces have different rules, just kind of like the United States. Ontario, I believe, which is home to Toronto, requires masks for all indoor settings. But apparently outside of that, the rules are pretty lax on the mask front. And for more information, you can download the ArriveCan app. I've posted a link on my Twitter at JetSetJuliet. Finally, really quick, Frank, for folks looking to simply stay local on U.S. soil, there's a really cool attraction out in Colorado. It's a one-of-a-kind train system that has transported folks to the top of Pikes Peak for 130 years, and it is back in business after a years-long renovation. It's the world's highest cog railway, meaning it's got that toothed central rail between the two main rails that helps provide traction, you know, for going up and down those steep slopes. Pikes Peak Cog Railway has been delivering passengers to the peak since it first opened in 1891. So it is open again, which would be kind of a cool trip.
Absolutely. Peerless Boilers has sports, and doing this particular sports report, here's Frank Garrity.
The newest member of the L.A. Lakers at his introductory news conference Tuesday, and Russell Westbrook says he expects. The newest member of the L.A. Lakers had his introductory news conference Tuesday, and Russell Westbrook says he expects to fit right in playing with LeBron James.
I'm coming to a championship caliber team, and my job is to make sure that I'm able to make his game easy for him, and I'll find ways to do that throughout the game. As it pertains to ball handling and all that, it really doesn't matter. There's many different ways you can impact the game without having the ball in your hands, and I've been able to do that for many years.
L.A. acquired Westbrook on draft day last month. Free agent Dennis Schroeder will be heading to the Celtics on a one-year deal. The Rays rally to beat the Red Sox 8-4, and Tampa Bay now extends their AL East lead to 5 games. The 8-game winning streak for the Phillies came to an end. They were beaten at home by the Dodgers 5-0. Jay Happ with 3 relievers combined on a one-hitter as the Cardinals beat the Pirates 4-1. And Hall of Fame goalie Tony Esposito, who spent almost his entire career with the Blackhawks, has died at the age of 78. That's sports. Frank Garrity, NBC News Radio.
547. Oh, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
Wow, Frank Garrity, I haven't heard of him in a long time.
Yeah, well, are you guys part of the same umbrella company?
You know what? I don't even know anymore.
Well, the NBC News Radio thing was a little odd.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where that came from. I don't. I honestly don't. I'll find out. I don't know. But I mean, he's been working with me at over in Rutherford forever. I mean, he's a good guy. Crossbox eastbound, extra heavy from the George Washington Bridge to Jerome Avenue. An accident with one lane out. Deegan southbound, 230s down to Fordham Road. We're slow. And then again, an accident with one lane out. Westbound on Route 80 at exit 58. That jackknife tractor trailer is still being cleared. And we still have this problem on the Long Island Railroad. And as we get a little deeper into the rush hour, we're getting a little more concerned that it's still there. 15 to 20 on the Port Washington branch. Apparently some late track work and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. The support of service.
service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, sir. Welcome back, everybody. WABC Early News time is 5:49. A Queens pervert is wanted for using a cell phone camera to take pictures of unsuspecting girls and women. It happened at a Target in Flushing on July 29th. This creepy guy allegedly followed a 12-year-old and 3-year-old, both girls, into the department store's bathroom, put his phone under their stall to record them. This is according to the police. He fled as the girls told the women that they were with about the creepy guy. He returned the very next day to snap another pic, putting his phone under the skirt of a 40-year-old woman who had leaned over in an aisle. This is, again, according to cops. The guy's wearing tank tops in a black mask during his illicit upskirt photo sessions. And you can see security images on the New York Post's website.
That's for sure. Two U.S. senators are co-sponsoring bills that would ban federal mask and COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Texas Republican Ted Cruz introduced the No Mask Mandates Act this week, along with North Dakota Republican Kevin Cramer. It would end President Biden's executive order requiring masks on public property. It would also put a stop to the CDC's mask mandate for transportation. The pair also introduced the No Vaccine Mandates Act, which would ban the practice of requiring a COVID vaccination without getting the patient's consent.
Frank, are you guilty of fubbing?
I'm not sure what that is.
Have you ever been a fubber?
I probably.
This is people who regularly, when they're out with their friends or their family members or whatever, look at their phones and kind of snub the people that they're with.
You know, I have tried never to do that, but what I think I probably in very high pressure situations have done that. When there's, say, like a breaking news incident or something mm-hmm. like that, I try to not be that person. You know, that person is Lauren Conlon. I mean, she is the textbook fubber, but I try never to be that person, but I would guess that there are people that could have said that I have been that person.
I find that I fub people more when I'm really comfortable with them because I'm always around them. You know, like my friend, my next door neighbor, Ned, was here yesterday and my mother was also around and we were all talking and he was talking and I just kind of started looking at my phone. I was listening to what he was saying, but I was looking at videos of my puppy that I'm going to be adopting. So I guess I do that too, but I feel like I don't do it when I'm with people that are in a more formal situation. But anyway, people who do this, who regularly snub their friends to look at their phones, are, according to a study, more likely to be socially anxious and more likely to be depressed. So they found a link between fubbing a friend and having mental health issues. So I guess, you know, maybe we should really try not to do this. If fubbing a friend can have serious repercussions on relationships, according to experts.
I believe that. And yeah. It drives me crazy when people fub me. What about it? Maybe we could take a no fub pledge.
I'm going to do that. I'm willing to do that. Yeah. I would like to be fub free.
Fub free. Let's do it. From now on, no fubbing for Frank and Juliet.
There you go.
I will say, you know, Tom Likas, I had him on the radio yesterday, and when he was on the radio, he would always do a lot of advice for guys in terms of dating and so forth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he would say is that if you're on a date with a woman and she looks at her phone or takes a phone call, you should just leave. That was always
that's a little aggressive. But,
yeah. But I mean, they would get the message, I guess, right? I mean, if that's an inappropriate.
Apparently. Yeah. I remember picking up a friend of mine. We were going to be driving down to the Jersey Shore, literally pick her up in New York. And from the time I picked her up at her apartment building in New York City to the time we got to the Lincoln Tunnel, and this is in summer traffic, she hadn't spoken to me once. She was on her phone.
Oh,
It bothered me so much.
Are you still friends with that person?
No, I'm not, actually.
Good for you. Good. All right. Instagram is rolling out new anti-abuse and hate measures. The goal is to keep users from seeing racist, sexist, and homophobic posts. One new feature, available starting today, will automatically hide comments and message requests from users who don't follow you. It'll also give an even stronger warning if someone is trying to post something that is potentially offensive. It'll also let users filter message requests.
Well, and I guess we have a royal alert for everybody, a royal alert. An alleged victim of Prince Andrew filed a civil suit Monday in New York seeking substantial damages. We talked about this yesterday. Virginia Giuffre is her name. She claims she was sexually abused as an underage girl by the prince while also being victimized by Andrew's friend Jeffrey Epstein. The incidents reportedly happened in the year 2001 when she was 17. They happened in London, the Caribbean, and here in Manhattan at Epstein's townhouse. The prince has denied the allegations, but the lawsuit accuses him of repeatedly refusing to help U.S. authorities with their investigation. Giuffre brought the lawsuit just in time, apparently. The New York State Child Victims Act had essentially given her till Saturday to file. So as for what this means for the prince himself, the court will have pretty broad powers of discovery. They're going to be able to get their hands on phone records and other communications. Andrew could be called to give evidence, but he can't be forced to do so. If he chooses to take that route, the latter route, it would certainly not look good for him. So this is going to be really, really interesting to see what happens, to see if he actually comes to the United States. I'm guessing he's not going to.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I'll be eager to see what happens with this as well. I was listening to Alan Dershowitz on the Cats at Night show address this story yesterday. And obviously, Virginia Giuffre and Alan Dershowitz have sued one another as well. He claimed that Giuffre is saying that the prince had sex with her when she was of legal age. But is that not what she's claiming? Does Dershowitz have that wrong?
She says she was 17.
17. I get right. Okay. So that would be, I guess that would be the legal age of consent then.
I mean, if a 40 something year old man having sex with a 17 year old is, I mean, is Dershowitz suggesting that that's normal?
No. I mean, again, people should listen to the interview. It was interesting, but apparently she was also paid $16,000, which I hadn't realized, either. But it'll be interesting to see how that case is adjudicated.
I'm going to lean with her. I find her to be very credible, and all the other women that have come out and told their stories.
All right. Well, 5:57. I will lean with Joe Nolan when it comes to traffic reporting. Joe, how's the traffic looking this morning?
Well, we got a lot going on. It's a busy, busy day. Crosswalks eastbound, bumper to bumper, George Washington Bridge over to Jerome Avenue. An accident, one lane out. Southbound Deegan, we're slow from the 230s down to Fordham Road. Again, that accident with one lane out. That also will continue a little bit. Westbound Belt Parkway, bumper to bumper, Coney Island Avenue. All lanes are closed with an accident. Then westbound on Route 80 at exit 58 in Patterson. An earlier jackknife tractor trailer. Again, there's repair work going on. So that is what the holdup at that point is. And then on the Long Island Railroad, still 15 to 20 minute delays on the Port Washington branch. That late track work and alternate side is in effect. Once again, this report of service of Indeed.com. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joe. And we didn't get to do this at the bottom of the hour. On this day, and this day is August 11th, back in 1866, the world's first roller rink opened up in Newport, Rhode Island.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Newport, Rhode Island, of all places.
Yeah, and we are going to be doing, on Friday morning, a follow-up to that big Newport-related case that involving Doris Duke that we covered earlier in the week. So tune into that. All right. On this day in 1934, the first federal prisoners arrived at Alcatraz.
Wow. What year?
1934.
Well, in 1924, the first newsreel pictures of U.S. presidential candidates were taken.
On this day in 1951, WCBS television here in New York broadcast the first baseball doubleheader in color.
That's right. And I believe it was the Boston Braves and the Brooklyn Dodgers. if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Well, yeah. Speaking of Braves, Milwaukee Braves pitcher Warren Spahn on this date in 1961 earned career victory number 300. He led the Braves to a 2-1 win over the White Sox.
Well, finally for me in 1964 on this day, A Hard Day's Night, which was the musical comedy film featuring the Beatles, was released here in the United States.
And speaking of lovers of varying ages, on this day in 1972, Elvis and Priscilla Presley filed for divorce after less than 5 years of marriage.
A sad day that was. All right, we have traffic, weather, sports, all sorts of things coming up. And, of course, your major headlines coming up, and we will flesh them out. Frank and I will. Also, we'll hear from Sid as to what's going on with the Bernie and Sid show. That is all coming up right after the headlines when we toss over to Deb Valentine at the Deb Valentine News Desk.